The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Hebrews 10, it says something about falling away. What does it mean for a believer to fall away? What are the consequences of falling away? How should this term be understood? We will be discussing that in a moment, and we're glad that you joined us today here on Grace in Focus, the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out a lot more about us by going to our website at faithalone.org. You can also find out more about our online seminary at gesseminary.org. Now it's time to get to our discussion for the day. Here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. I think you've got a question from KJ, don't you, there, Philippe?
Yes, a question from KJ and concerning Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. KJ says, I read your explanation of Hebrews 10, 38 and 39, and I'll quote it here. But my righteous one shall live by faith, basically quoting Habakkuk. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith today, preserving of the soul. So KJ, you know, commends the explanation of GES on that. I commend the fact that you acknowledge that the verses are referring to a true believer, unlike some who try to whitewash the verse. You, however, believe that a true believer cannot walk away. And here KJ has a misunderstanding of what your position is, Bob, but acknowledge that the book of Hebrews is full of warnings. Why warn someone of something that will not matter in the long run?
Okay, that is a great question, KJ. And my answer is that you warn people of something that is a potential real problem. And a problem that if you do fail to heed the warning, you're going to reap some bad consequences. So I'm agreeing with KJ that this is something an actual believer can do, that a born-again person can do this, and that there are negative consequences. What I disagree with is KJ seems to think the consequence is eternal condemnation, right? Isn't that the implication of his question?
Yes.
And I believe it's because, how does verse 39 call it? In the New King James, slightly different, the translation you were reading said what, the preserving of the soul?
Yes.
And the New King James says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe to the saving of the soul. So they say saving of the soul. And he understands perdition there to be eternal condemnation. I would understand perdition to be destruction, to be judgment in this life. And the saving of the soul, I would understand to be the saving of the life.
Yes, with, of course, goes back to the teaching of Jesus about, you know, taking
right.
up your cross and following me. By thus, you know, you shall save your soul. And 1 Peter 1:9,
right.
Too, about the salvation of the soul in that sense of a reward of an inheritance that's ultimately obtained.
Right. And also in the verses before that, he just said 38, but 37 and 38, for yet a little while, and he who is coming, referring to Jesus, will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Well, what KJ recognizes is if someone fails to persevere, God has no pleasure in him. Well, that's right. But no pleasure and eternal condemnation are two different things.
Yes.
And the perdition here, in verse 39, when it says, we are not those who shrink back to perdition, actually, the Greek word is apoleon. And apoleon is the word that refers to destruction or loss. From the verb, the verb form is apolemi. I have a chapter on this in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, and this is the word that's sometimes translated lost. So I would say we're not those who shrink back to destruction. And there are five warnings in the book of Hebrews. This is one of those five warnings. And all five warnings are warning Jewish believers of the dangers of going back into Judaism and back into animal sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. And they're told if you do that, you're going to reap destructive consequences in your life, and you will not be one of Christ's metakoi, his partners in the life to come. The saving of the soul here, I take it, saving of the life, refers to being one of Christ's partners in the life to come. It may also have overtones with saving of the life here and now, that you're going to reap serious consequences in this life. But let's come back to KJ's main point, which is he thinks we're saying true believers can't fall away, right?
Yes, that's his misinterpretation, you know, that.
And we're saying born-again people absolutely can and do fall away, and that's why there are these warnings. And so, yes, he's right that whoever the author of Hebrews is, I think probably Barnabas, but it could be a lot of other people, including Paul, but whoever is the author of Hebrews, they're warning genuine believers about the possibility of apostasy and serious apostasy, where the person would say the blood of Christ is no longer sufficient, but I've got to supplement it with the blood of bulls and goats, which is, of course, the beginning of Hebrews chapter 10. And so this would be a terrible thing. Now, I think, didn't KJ tie it in with another passage in Scripture?
Yes, he ties this in, and that's KJ's really main question almost here. It says, but I want to ask you, if you don't mind, and I don't think you will mind, Bob,
right,
to explain the meaning of 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. And that's the passage, you know, that deals with a sin leading to death. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask God, and God will give him life to those who commit sin not leading to death. But there is a sin leading to death, and I do not say that you should make a request for this.
Yeah, and so notice he talks about his brother. If anyone sees his brother, this is not an unbeliever. So KJ is right. This is a born-again person, and they can have a sin to death. But where KJ is going wrong, which many people go wrong, he thinks death here refers to eternal death, eternal separation from God. In Revelation 20, 11 to 15, the second death is being cast into the lake of fire. This isn't referring to the second death. This is referring to the first death, physical death.
Yeah, the possibility that a believer might even have such severe discipline as a premature.
Right.
Such as Ananias and Sapphira.
Okay, there's a great example.
Would be a great example, yes.
Yeah, Ananias and Sapphira were in Acts chapter 5, and this is the beginning of the church age. And during the beginning of the church age, they were lying about how much they received from the proceeds of a sale so they could impress people about, wow, we gave the whole proceeds from this sale. As a result, they died. I believe the reason for this rather extreme judgment on the part of God was because God was trying to impress people at the beginning of the church age the importance of treating God as holy and of respecting God and especially respecting the local church.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing happened at the beginning of the law of Moses, right? Who died at the beginning of the law of Moses?
Well, the two sons of Aaron.
The two older sons
who offered incense that did not meet the requirements that God had.
Yeah, it's called strange fire.
Strange fire.
Yeah, and it's possible they were drunk at the time because right after that, God gives an instruction that priests cannot drink before they do priestly service, kind of like a pilot. You can't drink within 12 hours of flying. Well, the priest couldn't drink within, I don't know, a day or however long from serving. And so Nadab and Abihu, and by the way, I've never met anybody named Nadab, never met anybody named Abihu. Of course.
Well, Ananias and Sapphira. That too.
But my point is, in both the beginning of the law of Moses and the beginning of the church age, God took people's lives, and it was the sin unto death.
Yes. And even in dealing in an unworthy manner of things that are holy, as you will say, the Lord's Supper.
Okay, First Corinthians 11.
11:30. Concerning that. Right.
Because of this, some of you are sick and some sleep. And sleep there refers to the death of believers. Mm-hmm. And they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. And the problem is they didn't view it as the Lord's Supper, as the celebration of the Lord's death and resurrection and a remembrance of it. They just thought it was an opportunity to eat and drink. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, some of them died. And that was the sin unto death, too. I agree. So it seems to me what we need to recognize is God is holy. And if we do not respect his holiness, we may die prematurely. But it's important to recognize Ananias and Sapphira didn't prove they were unbelievers because they died prematurely. If anything, they showed they were believers and God was using them as an illustration of the need to treat him as holy. And the same thing with Nadab and Abihu. I expect to see them in the kingdom, right? And the same thing with the believers who died for abusing the Lord's Supper.
All the believers who died during the wilderness wanderings. No.
Right. Now, of course, there's another question, and I think I did a blog on that, on how many of the people in the wilderness wanderings were born again, but I don't think they all were. I think some of them were and some of them weren't. But take the rebellion of the sons of Korah. I tend to think most, if not all, of the sons of Korah were believers, and yet the earth was opened up and they were swallowed alive into Sheol. So, but regardless, certainly some, if not many, of those who fell in the wilderness were born again people, right?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, Aaron died before getting in the Promised Land. Miriam died.
Well, Moses also.
Moses died. All but Joshua and Caleb, over 20, all of them died except Joshua and Caleb. So I think it's important to recognize that there are consequences for disobedience. There are consequences for extreme disobedience, like in the book of Hebrews. But do we believe that true believers can fall away? Absolutely. In fact, we didn't even use the word true believers. Believers can fall away, and if they do, they reap the consequences. But they can't lose everlasting life because, as Dr. Ryrie used to say, if everlasting life could be lost, it's got the wrong name.
Yes.
All right, well, thanks. And remember, keep
grace in focus.
Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, we return to our Romans series with Ken Yates and Catherine Wright. Please be sure to join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.